It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, July 14th. I'm Patricia Naft. For the first time, chronic wasting disease has been found in Montrose County. KVNF's Jake Ryan reports.
A few months ago, the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Montrose office got a call about a deer.
We had a report from a private landowner just east of Montrose about a deer that was acting strange and appeared to be sick.
That's CPW spokesperson Joe Lewandowski. He says the deer died shortly after the wildlife manager arrived. They took the carcass to a research lab, and it was recently confirmed a case of chronic wasting disease.
Chronic wasting disease is kind of a weird protein that deer pick up from various sources. We don't know exactly how, but it infects their brain and basically destroys them. So it's fatal.
This is the first time it's been found in southwest Colorado, he says, and there are likely more sick deer out there.
If one deer has the disease, it's likely that there are more deer out there, but this has been in Colorado for almost 30 years. This isn't going to decimate the deer population, but we are keeping an eye on it. We'll be looking at the results of the deer that hunters bring in, and we're also asking people if they see a deer that appears to be sick or acting oddly, that they call the Parks and Wildlife office.
He says anyone who's taken a deer or perhaps picked up roadkill can contact CPW and have them test the animal for $25. And hunters next fall can have their deer tested for free. Lewandowski says that there's no evidence of the disease crossing over to humans or livestock, but it's helpful to keep track of its progress. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
A road that was closed on the Uncompahgre Plateau due to a mudslide is now open. The Forest Service closed 90 roads southwest of Montrose in late May. The agency and the county worked to repair the damage, but it's only a temporary fix. Matt Zumstein is Norwood District Ranger.
You know, every spring during runoff, when the water's moving underneath those layers and springs are moving, you know, we're getting activity and the road continues to slide out. So, you know, we repaired the road and the road base, but the hillside above it is continuing to have activity. And, you know, it's probably predictable that it's going to slide again.
Zumstein says the Forest Service and the county are developing a long-term solution for the road. Bustang, a regional state-run bus service, is marking its one-year anniversary this week. KVNF's Laura Pomisano spoke to Colorado Department of Transportation Bob Wilson for an update.
We have three different lines. There is the line along Interstate 70, and that service, it begins in the mornings in Glenwood Springs with stops at Eagle, at Vail, and Frisco, and then stops at the Federal Center, which is on the west end of Denver, and then it terminates at Denver Union Station. And then the same stops in reverse in the evenings, terminating in Glenwood Springs. And then we also have a line between Denver and Colorado Springs and between Denver and Fort Collins.
In its first year, the Bustang saw more than 100,000 riders. CDOT originally estimated ridership at around 85,000 people. Are you surprised by the popularity of the service?
Not really. I mean, there has been demand for transit services, and this is something that we weren't going to start unless we knew there was going to be some demand. And there has been a lot of talk about expanding transit services for longer distance commuters and for people that want linkages to the Denver metro area as well, for between the Western Slope and Denver. So we were very happy that the service turned out to be even more popular than what we anticipated. But we knew that there was a need for the service. For instance, the line between Denver and Colorado Springs, at one point, there was a commuter line there that was subsidized by the city of Colorado Springs. So it had a lot of usage. People were very happy with it, and then it went away due to funding issues. So we knew that there was a need for that. And then the same with the other lines. So if somebody needed to lived in the Glenwood Springs area and needed to get medical services, for instance, in Denver, they were really out of luck unless they wanted to take a very long train ride on the Amtrak. So this service provides that gap between somebody who doesn't have a car, doesn't drive, and they is able to come down to the metropolitan area for whatever services.
There's been talk of expanding Bustang lines. what areas might see these services?
Yeah, what we anticipate on the West Line is eventually having the line expand west from Glenwood Springs to Grand Junction. Other locations that might see additional service in the future would be links to the I-70 corridor to between Steamboat Springs and the I-70 corridor, as well as Gunnison and the Denver area. And then we also anticipate expanding the line between Colorado or to Colorado Springs, expanding it further south to Pueblo. And then on the north line, we'd be looking at expanding it to Greeley. And then there's also been discussions of putting a line in between Pueblo and Lamar through the Arkansas Valley.
Is the Bustang service paying for itself? Is it sustainable?
No, it isn't. I mean, it has to be. It must be subsidized. It is a transit service. It's a public transit service, so it is subsidized. However, it does come in pretty well as far as what's known as fare box recovery. And initially, they were hoping to get 28%, which means the fares pay for 28% of the service. And so in this first year, we came in 8% over at 36%. So we're pretty happy with that. And even at 28%, that's higher than average for what you can anticipate on a bus system as far as fare box recovery. So, and that's part of the faster fees that people pay for their license plates. There is 10% of those fees do go to transit.
That was Bob Wilson with CDOT speaking to KVNF's Laura Pomisano. If new carbon regulations go into effect, U.S. coal productions will fall by around 25% by 2040, according to the updated projections by the U.S. Energy Information Administration, or EIA. Inside Energy's Lee Patterson reports.
The Clean Power Plan is the first ever federal rule that would limit carbon emissions from power plants. The rule is now on hold while legal challenges against it are resolved. If the plan doesn't ever take effect, the EIA predicts that demand for coal will remain relatively flat over the next 25 years. That scenario assumes natural gas prices will increase and that international demand for U.S. coal will dip down and then return back to higher 2014 levels. In May, the credit ratings agency Moody's reported that the short-term outlook for coal is negative and that the industry has undergone a severe long-term structural shift. For Inside Energy, I'm Lee Patterson.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.